Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
But first, you may remember last week we spoke to you about the Taoiseach saying that children born in Ireland should have a pathway to citizenship, but that repealing or overturning the 27th Amendment is a different thing. Now, under the amendment passed in 2004 in a citizenship referendum, children born in Ireland are only entitled to automatic citizenship if at least one of their parents is a citizen or is entitled to be a citizen. In 2004, former Justice Minister Michael McDougall proposed a citizenship referendum to end the automatic right to Irish citizenship for all babies born in Ireland. At the time, of course, that was, we felt it was being abused. There was a name now, which is almost a derogatory term, which was called anchor babies. And many countries around the world had kind of put a plug in that loophole to stop, I suppose, the free movement of people and people claiming to be a citizen of a country just because they were born there. We had somebody on the air last week talking to us who worked in immigration at the time. And they said literally people were arriving to the country pregnant. Now, I don't know how true those anecdotal stories are, but many people believe they were true for that, to the point where we had to have a referendum on it. Now, the Labour leader, Alan Kelly, told The Dáil last week that his party is now pursuing a campaign to ensure that every child born in this country has a pathway towards citizenship. We will not stop until it is achieved, and it's completely wrong that such children cannot get passports, have problems accessing higher education, or in some cases are threatened with deportation. He also quoted the case, of course, of Eric C. Yingmi Zhu, I think is how he pronounced his name, who was threatened with deportation to China last year. Eric has never lived anywhere other than his native Wicklow and believed that these kind of situations should be exceptions to the rule. Now, the Labour senator and party spokesperson on children, disability, equality and integration, Ivana Bacic, joins me on the line now. Ivana, good evening or good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Right, we got a lot in there, and I suppose a lot of people are looking at what the Labour Party are doing at the moment in relation to this legislation and what Leo Varadkar spoke about last week as undemocratic, because they're saying, well, hold on for a second, you know, 79% of the population back in 2004 voted against this, so why do we want to change it?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me on the show, and you set out the background. But there is one crucial thing, perhaps, that needs to be said, which is that the amendment in 2004, the 27th Amendment, which inserted a new Article 921 to the Constitution, didn't, in fact, abolish outright what we call birthright citizenship or citizenship by virtue of birth. It enables the Oireachtas to legislate for birthright citizenship or for citizenship to be regulated by law. So you quoted that a person, you know, that the new provision inserted in 2004 said a person born on the island of Ireland who doesn't have at least one parent who's an Irish citizen or entitled to one is not entitled to Irish citizenship. But you left out a crucial last phrase, Niall. And as a lawyer, I have to, you know, but it's...
Okay, so what is that? What is that last phrase? Because yeah, I think the majority of people who voted in that, Ivana, would have been under the impression that was what the referendum was actually about. But what is the last phrase?
No, I think it was made very clear at the time what the referendum was about. I should say Labour campaigned against the referendum. We didn't agree with it.
I do remember. I was on radio at the time, so I do remember a lot of debate at the time about it.
Yes, there was a lot of debate. No, people were well informed. But look, you know, the crucial last phrase is unless provided for by law. So what Article 9 now does, as amended, is it enables the Oireachtas to legislate, to regulate how somebody born in Ireland can be entitled to citizenship. And after the referendum was passed, it actually was through further legislation that the current rules on citizenship were provided for. Now, what we're doing with our Labour bill, which, as you say, Alan Kelly spoke about in The Dáil 2 weeks ago, and Leo Varadkar, you know, the Taoiseach, made some very positive noises about it, and certainly in principle. We're putting it back before the Seanad next week. We actually passed it at second stage in the Seanad 2 years ago with support from Fianna Fáil and the Greens then. And we're hopeful the government will see a way to support it, even if they wish to amend it, that's fine. What the bill would do is it would provide a pathway to citizenship.
Okay, to make it easier in those sort of circumstances. And I understand.
Precisely. And by the way, the case of young Eric and
absolutely.
Other, and you know, a small number.
Mind
of
you,
other
I understand, and everybody understands young Eric's situation, right? We all understand the situation. Here's a young child who knows nothing else apart from living in Ireland. He's never been to China probably in his whole life, right? So he knows Ireland. Ireland is where he has lived all his life. Unfortunately, the situation he was in with his mum or dad, I'm not too sure of his background, I think it was his mum, you know, was in this country and she wasn't here at the time legitimately. So the point is that he was in a situation where it wasn't his fault. And I get that. And there's thousands more children just like young Eric around the country. But people will argue that, yes, we have to be empathetic. Yes, we have to be understanding. And let's look at each individual case. But passing a law that suggests that you have some sort of easier way to citizenship or pathway to citizenship, and I know Joe Biden has mentioned this only recently as well, to suggest to some people that we become an easy target then for illegal immigration. Do you not see that?
No, I think, in fact, people have moved on since 2004. It is 16 years ago, and certainly we had a Sunday Times poll that more recently that suggested that over 70% of people would like to see birthright citizenship
restored.
Well, then
why not have another referendum then?
Because, the first thing is to say we don't need one, that constitutionally the power rests with the Oireachtas to legislate for this. So as legislators, our first duty is to see if we can legislate to enable people, children and families in the situation that Eric and his family found themselves in, to enable them to have a pathway to citizenship. And let's not forget that this
but
year...
Is that the will of the people, Ivana? Is that the will of the people? If we're trying to get around the Constitution of Ireland with legislation that what I'm saying is with the line that we put in, yes, I know, the line that we put in into the referendum suggesting that it could be legislated for at a future date. If, for example, we're trying to get around that somehow, at the time, we know that was the will of the people. Yes, you're right. Maybe we've changed our minds. Maybe things have changed. 79% of people. That was a landslide, by the way, that referendum. But it was a big turnout, too. So let's be clear about it.
The turnout was actually low in that referendum. But
it was a fairly big turnout. I'm looking at the turnout here regarding referendums. It was fairly big, too. It was 59%.
I think the reality is that there's huge support now for a more generous approach to citizenship. And in this year of COVID, what we've seen increasingly is an awareness among people that we have quite a number of people working in frontline caring services in nursing homes and so on around the country who are facing threats around their legal status here. And it's also, as you say, I mean, you mentioned Joe Biden, and you're quite right. I mean, in the US also, there's a huge issue for undocumented Irish people there who are, again, facing that
absolutely
threat of deportation. And we rightly fight for the rights of Irish people in America to have greater certainty.
But essentially what we're looking at here is a situation, the reason that Michael McDougall at the time brought in this, or asked for this particular referendum and put this to the people at the time, was we saw a situation where at the time it was referred to as anchor babies around the world, and many countries closed that loophole. Ireland was the only country, I think, at the time that didn't, until we had that referendum. And we saw, and Michael McDougall at the time gave evidence in regards to all the debates we had on radio, because I remember speaking to him at the radio on the time, that people were literally coming to Ireland pregnant because they saw it an opportunity that if they arrived in Ireland, had a baby in Ireland, the baby becomes a citizen and they become a citizen as a guardian of the child. So people were abusing that piece of legislation. So we decided we needed to stop it. Now we're going back to a situation where we're making it easy again. And you're saying the people of Ireland have changed their minds. Well, if they've changed their minds, I know you're saying there doesn't have to be a referendum. Why not ask the people? I don't believe we're asking the people, because I don't, Ivana, with the greatest respect to you, I know you have your view on it and I respect your view on it, but I don't believe everybody agrees with you.
Well, first of all, I think it's unfortunate to use terms that are, in fact, scaremongering terms. And we saw a lot of that.
It's not scaremongering, it's fact, Ivana.
Well, could I just say this? There was anecdotal at best was the sort of evidence put forward. There was no real substantial evidence put forward of any abuse of our birthright citizenship law, which, by the way, has been in place in Ireland for a long time. Because, of course, it's tied up with our history, with the fact that people born on the island of Ireland were constitutionally entitled to citizenship. So, we had a proud history on this, as they do in the US. And, the reality was in 2004, as I say, there was a good deal of scaremongering around it. There was anecdotal evidence. And the figures that were presented were deeply flawed. And, I mean, we looked back at this recently. Those figures referring to, non-national parents having children in Irish hospitals, most of the non-national parents living in Ireland at the time were, in fact, EU citizens. 70% of non-national people in Ireland in 2004 were EU citizens. So they're citizens of other EU member states who clearly didn't need to be seeking Irish citizenship in order to have a right to reside in Ireland. They had that under EU law. So there was never any substantive evidence put forward to substantiate that claim around abuse. It was a claim that was so bandied around and, very troubling for those of us who opposed it and opposed it on principle. And I'm proud to say that Labour stood against that referendum and that we're standing now on the Born Here, Belong Here campaign, being led by Labour Youth and by all of us, seeking to, as I say, put forward a modest proposal providing an easier pathway to
if I could interject for a second, would it not be better that we fix the system we have? We have people come to this country and it takes years for them to go through the immigration process or asylum process or whatever it happens to be, because our system fails miserably and we have the legal profession making a fortune out of it. Would it not be better to fix the system so we don't have situations like poor Eric and other young children around the country, or children who are born while that process is taking place, and those who genuinely need asylum or those who genuinely need to be supported, who come from other countries in their country, this country, should get it. Actually, more of them should be getting it if they genuinely need support, because absolutely, I believe Amnesty International are right when they talk about protecting people around the world. We should be doing that. But we do know that, you know, the asylum process and other processes that we have in this country are being abused as well. We do have a lot of economic migrants coming to Ireland. So we need to find out who is genuine, who's not. And those who are genuine, let's throw every support possible at them. And, you know, let's give them housing. Let's look after them with social welfare, or get them jobs, or help them on the path to get jobs or citizenship. Let's do all that. But for those who are not, let's do what we should be doing and what most of the countries are doing. You're not a genuine immigration case. And unfortunately, that's the law. You have to go. I mean, in other countries, you'd be put in handcuffs and put back on a plane again. So what I'm saying is, be fair to the Irish people. It is our country and we do have to protect it in some way. I don't know whether you're in favour of open borders, Ivana, but I don't think that's the solution for Ireland.
No, I think there's a huge amount in what you said that I've disagreed with, you know, and I think...
Okay, well, let me know what you disagree with.
Well, look, let me start. Give me a chance to respond. I think, first of all, I think we need to be careful in our language. I think it's very easy to bandy around terms that are, again, scaremongering, that suggest that people are, you know, abusing systems.
People are abusing the system,
Look, the reality is...
You're not facing reality if you don't believe people are abusing the system.
We have a legal system that is designed to ensure that people who have genuine claims can make genuine claims, and people who don't, you know, are dealt with through the legal system. So absolutely immigration...
But we're failing those people. We're failing them, Ivana.
In fact, Niall, if you look forensically, you'll see, in fact, that our immigration laws have been reformed, that the time to process applications has been reduced in recent years. Yes, of course, more reforms are needed, in particular, reform of the direct provision system.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
And I very much welcome, actually, the current government's proposal, which they're, you know, really moving forward and implementing, their proposal to abolish direct provision, to replace it with a more humane system, a system where people aren't going to be, you know, institutionally housed, if you like, while
absolutely
they're awaiting resolution.
And I couldn't agree with you more, but we still have to have an immigration policy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And nobody's denying that, Niall. I mean, you know, I'm a lawyer. Of course I believe in a properly regulated legal system for immigration. Of course I stand for reforms to ensure that our system is more efficient. Absolutely. For a long time there were terrible delays in the system. And the one thing I do agree with you, I mean, that certainly did lead to injustice, and it did lead to people being housed in indirect provision for far too long.
Institutionalised. I mean, we don't want to look back at direct provision like the Magdalen Laundries, for God's sake.
You're quite right about that. And I mean, you know, I've met people who've been in direct provision for 5, 6, 7, 8, more than 10 years. So, you know, but that is now, for, you know, due to reform, that is
changing. Part of that reform include the 85% of those, for example, who do get deportation orders because we feel they're not genuine or they don't comply with the legislation in regards to, say, asylum seekers or whatever it happens to be, or immigration. The 85% who don't get deported, because that's, I believe, the failure rate in deportation. Should that be fixed as well?
It depends how you look at the figures, and it depends in which year. And certainly for some time, there was a real concern among international human rights bodies that Ireland was refusing too many applications. So that's the other side of the coin, is that, you know, is that there was an unfair system for those who were seeking asylum, and far too many were being refused, who in other countries would have got asylum. And you may recall there was a legal case taken some years ago, in fact, that succeeded, that showed there was a serious problem with our system that was refusing too many. So there are, you know, there are difficulties with figures, but absolutely, let's see a fair, a robust legal system around immigration where processes are efficient, where people aren't delayed for years awaiting outcomes, and where genuine claims will be considered and processed. And, you know, I would say this now as well, you know, we do good things in our immigration system too. There's reports in the press this week, you know, of a number of Syrian families who've come over on our rapid resettlement programme, fleeing conflict in Syria. They're fast-tracked quite rightly through the system. They have refugee status, and there's a very strong integration.
Absolutely. And by the way, Ivana, I would be absolutely in favour of doing more of that. When you were looking at people who are genuinely coming from life or death situations. But finally, just in relation to that, I just want to ask you something else too very quickly as well. But you don't believe what the Labour Party are suggesting at the moment and what this legislation is doing. You don't believe it's undemocratic, no? Because a lot of people believe it is.
No, far... No,
I know from a legal point of view it's not, but I mean, obviously...
Look, Niall, I'm a legislator. You know, my job is to bring forward legislation. Labour has a proud tradition...
Well, legislation that goes... That seems to go against the will of the people, but... And I would have no problem with another referendum if they decided to do that and change the wording again. Okay, but... Okay,
say, it's not necessary. We're providing a modest proposal. We still have to, you know, to say, children born here, two children side by side in the maternity hospital... Why are we saying one has a right to a pathway to citizenship by virtue of their parents' legal status and the other
because
doesn't?
That's the way, because that's the way immigration works, isn't it, Ivana?
Well,
if people
no,
are, I mean, well, most people in this country believe that that citizenship is something to be honoured or to be something that we should protect and should be precious, and it goes by parentage. But that's the way most people believe.
But no, we don't know that for sure, Niall. And I think, you know, the proof will be now in the passage of the legislation, hopefully through the Oireachtas.
Okay.
Certainly we've seen positive signs being made, I'm glad to say, from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael about it. As I say, Fianna Fáil and the Greens supported it from opposition. And I think people see there's a need for reform. There's a small number of families here, many of whom have lived here, for at least like Eric's family, for years, whose children know no other home but Ireland, and should have a way to citizenship, a route to citizenship.
Okay, well, okay. But finally, just before you go, by the way, I just want to mention as well that I know you're on the radio this morning now, talking about the Globe Bar and Rerun Nightclub, and I know it's completely off the topic, but I mean, this idea that that Dublin is moving forward, I suppose, they're to put these two nightclubs to permanently close, which is very sad because I worked in the nightclub industry for 25 years and it was a wonderful industry, unfortunately, that was on the decline anyway before COVID-19 came along, and the COVID-19 put the nail in the coffin, of course. But it's on George's Street and they're two beautiful buildings as well, but they're permanently closed to make way for a 5-storey hotel. You know, Ivana, there are people out there saying, well, look, we have to progress as a society. We have to stop this idea that we have to protect every single building in the country. But I get what people are saying, that these are some beautiful buildings around the country that we're going to lose our 2-storey or 3-storey look across the city for all these much bigger buildings. What's your feelings on that?
Well, it is a very different issue. But, you know, I put in an objection, actually, to the proposed development on South Great Georgia Street. And for anyone who doesn't know, South Great Georgia Street is a beautiful old building that houses the Central Hotel. You know, I suppose two key objections. One was the architectural heritage, the fact that this is a beautiful building, that, you know, the plans would drastically change that cityscape there, and we need to see preservation. And I am glad to see that while the council have given permission, they have put in quite a lot of conditions, particularly around conservation. That's good. But my second objection, which hasn't been addressed, is the objection to the destruction of our cultural heritage. And that's really because we're seeing increasingly nightclubs like, well, the Globe and Rerun are the two nightclubs that, as you say, are in this complex that will be, you know, demolished.
Oh, I probably really DJed in them at one point in my life, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I danced in those clubs.
Well, I did. I worked in Club M. I worked in Tamango. I've worked in them all.
There you
are. Yeah.
But I mean, of course you're right. And, you know, there has been other reasons for the decline of nightclubs in Dublin. But there is a strong campaign, nonetheless, led by, you know, younger citizens than I am in Dublin, bring back the night, reclaim the night, bring back a nightlife culture in Dublin, a vibrant city.
Yeah, should we all miss Coppers as well?
Culture.
You know what I mean?
Oh, look, no comment on Coppers, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, look, absolutely. But I mean, it does remind me very quickly of a story going back a long time ago when, didn't we knock down some beautiful buildings Leeson Street? We built the ESB, it was either the ESB head office or the Revenue Commissioners.
It's just off Fitzwilliam Square.
That's right, and we knocked them down, and then we rebuilt the bloody things again. We took it down.
Mount
Street, that's where it was.
And they're very ugly, and they're being knocked down. As you say, there's a big hoarding around them now. Anyone who passes by regularly will know.
What a mistake we made by knocking down those wonderful buildings at the time, putting that ugly-looking yoke in the middle of them.
I'm not against development and progress, but I do think we need to just be mindful of our cultural heritage as well as our architectural heritage. We saw just in my own area in Portobello, just recently, the destruction of the Bernard Shaw, which was a great old pub.
Yes,
again,
absolutely.
A great centre for creativity and for nightlife. So, you know, new things, of course, will arise to take their place. But let's just be mindful that we don't just destroy things, you know, and
progress,
you know,
too quickly. Yes,
endless new hotels growing up. And especially at the time of COVID, need to look at, you know, what are we replacing these buildings with as well? You know, what's going in there?
Okay.
Is it massive hotel complexes or is it actual decent, substantial housing for people who need it?
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on the air. Ivana Bacik, and I appreciate it.